WHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says he had a productive meeting with President Biden in the Oval Office today. They did not reach an agreement, but sources familiar tell CBS News that the White House team is heading back to the Hill tonight to resume negotiations. More from CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The president and the House Speaker agree the national debt should be addressed and a deal should be reached, but philosophical differences on how to do it remain. Mr. Biden and fellow Democrats believe the government should take in more in taxes from the wealthy and large corporations. Kevin McCarthy rules that out.
The problem is not revenue. The problem is spending.
The president notes both he and the speaker will still face a challenge if the pair does reach a deal.
We got to get something that can sell to both sides.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Brian Koberger, the man accused of stabbing to death four University of Idaho students in their off-campus house, chose to stand silent during a portion of today's arraignment. CBS's Lilia Luciano explains.
All rise.
Wearing an orange jumpsuit, 28-year-old Brian Koberger returned to the Latah County Courthouse in Moscow, Idaho, briefly smiling at his attorney before staring straight ahead as the judge read the charges against him. Four counts of first-degree murder and one count of felony burglary.
Do you understand the charge in count 2, murder in the first degree?
Yes.
Do you understand the maximum penalty?
Yes.
When asked to enter a plea, his attorney declined, saying Koberger was standing silent. The judge entered not guilty pleas on behalf.
Officials in New York City and New York State are asking the federal government to expedite work permits for tens of thousands of migrants who've been deliberately bused to northern cities, mostly from Texas. New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
If these asylum seekers cannot work, it is going to be a major impediment and interruption in the pursuit of that dream. And that is all they ask for.
The NAACP is cautioning travelers against visiting Florida. The civil rights organization alleges Florida has become increasingly hostile to Black Americans under the leadership of Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. NAACP President and CEO Derek Johnson tells CBS News.
We recognize that it is a direct attack not only on the African-American community, but the Latino community, on women, on the LGBT plus QIA community, and that's a problem.
The Florida governor's office calls the move a stunt. In Michigan, a few months after a deadly shooting at Michigan State University, Governor Gretchen Whitmer signs into law a bill that allows guns to be removed from people who are believed to pose an imminent threat to themselves or others. This is CBS News.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Did you know 1 in 4 car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced? O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, our professional parts people can help you find the best superstart battery for your vehicle and budget. Don't wait. Get your battery tested for free today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Let's be real. Mopping is a hassle. You have to fill the bucket, pushing a wet, heavy mop around, then cleaning the mop when you're done so it doesn't grow bacteria. A hassle on top of a hassle. Try Swiffer WetJet. With Swiffer WetJet, you start with a fresh pad and cleaning solution every time. And when you're done, you just toss the pad. Swiffer WetJet, the faster, easier, cleaner way to clean your floors.
You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds, June 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real petcation, June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, It's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows level off around 50 tonight under partly cloudy skies, south winds around 5 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sun again tomorrow, high of 81. Lows around 52 tomorrow night, mainly cloudy skies. Cloudy skies Wednesday, decreasing clouds by Thursday. Mid 60s Wednesday, upper 60s by Thursday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 69.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds June 11th from 10 AM to 4 PM. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real Petcation, June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
If you talk, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So talk, they hear you. You can do it if you try.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 50. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, south winds around 5 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sun again. Tomorrow, high of 81. Lows around 52. Tomorrow night, mainly cloudy skies. Cloudy skies, Wednesday, decreasing clouds by Thursday. Mid-60s, Wednesday, upper 60s by Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 69.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
To stay involved, go to humanesociety.org.
The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance tweeted out, letting in too many people drives up housing costs for normal Americans. Stop Biden's border crisis and stop his war on home affordability. And he points out that that rent increases since 1999 rents have gone up 135%, income growth 76%. So massive, massive difference between the amount of money people are making and they're paying out in rent. According to JD, it's all the illegals coming in and buying up and renting all of the high priced housing. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, JD. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day, and welcome back to the States. I've asked our good friend, former Ohio Congressman and political analyst Bob Ney to come share some thoughts. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you, Rick.
So, welcome home. Good trip.
Yes, it was absolutely excellent. I must say, the Indians have handled inflation.
And how did they do that?
Don't buy things. I was amazed. Of course, the average Indian, you know, makes $210 a month. I mean, it's a country that has obviously a portion of the population on extremely low wages, and then again, people are growing in the population, and you know, they've done a decent job going up the ladder. But I asked, I said, "How is this and that?" And, you know, they just sort of, the Indians are really kind of frugal people if they need to be. And, you know, of course, they're used to living, a lot of people in a small space, and families live together. You know, if this were India, my kids and my grandkids and I would be all in this, you know, the same house. I would be probably visiting you and Carol every other weekend if that happened.
No, you're always
love
welcome.
My grandkids. Yeah, love my grandkids. But, you know, so, anyway. In all seriousness, they just, you know, certain times they just don't buy certain things. And the view of a lot of my friends is that, you know, it's corporate manipulation, too.
Yeah. No, this was my argument with the eggs.
And the prices don't go low.
Right. This was my argument when the eggs were $9 a dozen and people were freaking out. I go, just don't buy them. Well, we have to buy them. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
And now that they're, you know, what cracks me up is everyone blamed Biden for that. It's all Biden's fault. Biden, $9, all Biden's fault. Now they're a buck a dozen, not a peep.
Well, let's go back to COVID and toilet paper, right?
Yeah.
It was flying off the shelves. You couldn't get it. And, of course, you know, it would continue to be that way. Prices jump up. Scarcity. Gasoline's the same way. And I think that the corporations know that. I was talking to, as you know, I flip houses, talking to some fellow flippers, and we were talking just yesterday, and I said, look, you know, the prices went up, and you walk in, and, well, that price is high because of the supply chain. Well, if you really look at it, all right, and the lumber went up to, you know, $12 a piece, and it went from 4 to, you know, 12, and now it's 10. Wow, isn't that great? Why is it 10? Yeah, there's certain things going on in the market.
Yeah. No, I mean, the internally. Thing is, you know, as I said, you brought up the toilet paper. The reason toilet paper was so expensive is it was scarce. You would go to the store, it wasn't there. We were missing toilet paper, whole aisles full of nothing. I understand that. But when I went to the store to buy eggs, there didn't seem to be a shortage of eggs. They were all there. There were lots of them there. I mean,
you're
that's the thing.
Pay a lot more.
I'm just being gouged. And surprisingly, you know, 60 Minutes, did you watch the 60 Minutes bit yesterday?
No, I didn't see it.
Now, on the Pentagon gouging the taxpayers?
No, I mean, I heard about it, but I didn't see it. And that, because that fit into a one of the shows that I do, they asked me about, well, you know, defense, and I said it can sustain cuts without hurting strength. And they said, what do you mean? And I had talked to them about this, and then this was before 60 Minutes, and then 60 Minutes came up, and they were talking about it, and I looked at the clips, and, you know, living proof. It's incredible. There are areas that, you know, you can go in and not necessarily cut it. Let's not use the word cut. You know, fix it, tweak it.
We can correct it. Look, I mean, the one guy who was a negotiator said, look, we negotiate in 12 to 15% profit, which is a healthy profit. He said right now they're making about 40% profit. Gee, I wonder when Raytheon back in December said they were going to buy $6.5 billion in their stocks back, where did that money come from? Oh, yeah, us.
Well, the price of vaccines. Who was it after everything calmed down? They were one of the pharmaceuticals was going to have it up at like $100 or something. And they were subsidized by the United States government you know, all that time. And then all of a sudden, and they made profit on that. And then all of a sudden they were going to, you know, raise it. The fact that this country allowed that, what was that lunatic's name, that young kid that bought
Martin
medication?
Yeah, Martin, yeah. Something with an S.
So we have a country where you're allowed to purchase something that's $2 or $3 and make it $600 to a hedge fund.
Yep.
Yeah, this is incredible. It just shouldn't be. So yes, part of it is inflation, and part of it is the supply chain. But part of it too is that the companies know our buying mentality. They know our mentality. Period, and they use it.
Now, as I said from the beginning, good old fashioned American greed. That's the majority of our problem right now. At least that's my view. We brought up the Pentagon. Did you see the explosion today? You know, the explosion that didn't happen in real life, but there was an AI generated image that it caused the market to take a little tank for a minute. Did you see that?
Right. And at first, of course, the reports I had from friends is that actually happened. You know.
So my question is as AI gets more realistic, as deep fakes get much more realistic, how much of this do we do we have to endure? And at a certain point, do we become desensitized to it, ignore it, so that if something really does happen, we're kind of out on a ledge? Any thoughts?
Well, I think we are already to that point. I have been screaming about AI for a long time. When I was in Congress, you know, I used to talk about the obsession of the United States government. I'm going to make that a big plural government. The obsession of the United States government for AI. Now, you can imagine why parts of the government were obsessed with AI. Robots for war, you know? Yeah, sure. And then the companies that promote the sale and creation of those items, you know, for warfare. But I had a friend of mine who I was posting some things to them, and they said, this is against conservatism. This is against free America, free market, you know, free choices. This isn't free choices. This is boiling down already to where a fake AI image generated a bump in the stock market. What's going to happen during the election when you have a Biden or a Trump that says something and it just goes like wildfire, and we don't know right away that it's not them. It's generated AI. I
mean, yeah, and look, you know,
this horse is already running down the road.
Yeah, I don't know how we deal with that. I mean, I don't know how in this society of hyper reactionaries who are just looking to score points, or, you know, my team's going to win. I don't know, in the red hat, blue hat world, I don't know how we do this.
I don't know. But it's right now it's just out there, and you can do what you please. And I worry internally too what the government's doing, in the sense of, you know, who's looking at it. And this brings, because my friends have laughed at me, but this brings shades of the Terminator. You know, you've got who in the Congress, in the government, knows exactly what agencies are doing or not doing with AI? Who knows? You know, is there any internal regulation? Those are questions that need to be asked. And the answer can't be, well, in the interest of national security, we can't tell you. Because that's the standard answer, in the interest of national security, which usually means hold on because you're in for a bumpy ride.
So as a former legislator, is it too late? I mean, have we allowed this to go on for far too long? I mean, not just here in the U.S., but, you know, as a globe, has this gone too far out of hand?
Yes, I think it has. And all of a sudden, if you notice, when did this whole AI deal kick in? I mean, in the last 90 days, you saw more sponsored items on Facebook. The guy with the green face, sometimes they made it look like Morgan Freeman because of his voice. And they're talking to you. I can write any topic you want me to write on. And then they can generate letters if you say, I want to see the Last Supper, if everybody was dressed in 1980 clothes. I mean, this is everywhere.
Yeah.
And it really, like in the last 90 days, it's sort of like somebody's behind a great big promotion campaign of it, or people are behind it. And I just think that, you know, the world needs to begin to talk about which direction we go. I mean, you need also people who have the creative and intellect and scientific ability to talk about this. I mean, I'm sure there's things there that we don't even think about, that somebody that's in this field can say, hey, by the way, did you think about this? You better take a look at it.
Yeah. No, I mean, you've got a CEO of one of the companies going, hey, maybe you should regulate us. Yeah, I think maybe there's a problem there.
But exactly.
But I saw this Reuters story today that Israel plans on being the AI superpower of the world because of their technological prowess. And you go, is this going to be what rebalances power? Will our missiles and our tanks and all that stuff, will that be meaningless when you're talking about the future of information, the future of communication, the future of this AI stuff? Is that a problem?
Right. I mean, in Jerusalem today, it said Israel aims to parlay its technological prowess to become the artificial intelligence superpower, like you said. And this isn't the prime minister. This is the defense ministry, you know, world order, defense. I know there's all these conspiracy theories, but why is it the defense ministries? Why is it that in America the Defense Department talks about this? And they were talking in Israel about advances in autonomous warfare, and streamlined combat decision making. Now, what does that mean? Those two computers we've taught them to talk to each other, they're going to make the decision who's going to get hit or who's not going to get hit. And, of course, one day those computers might talk to each other literally and say, those little people that breathe and have that heartbeat, they're not good for us.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
let's hack into some of these nuclear codes.
This is all those bad 80s movies.
Yes, it is.
Coming to reality. I mean, when
this
I was reading it, I was going, I remember as a kid reading this stuff going, wow, what a world that would be, going, maybe it's not such a great idea.
Right.
This is one of those things. It's like I say about 1984, the Orwell classic. You know, there's two ways of looking at that. That's a cautionary tale of, hey, don't let that happen. Or it's hey, this is a pretty good playbook. But is the same thing on the AI front. Become a Luddite and start smashing the machines, or where we're sadly going to head.
Well, this is, you know, Arnold can't run for governor again, but that old expression, all be Bach, you know, from the Terminator movie is not far off.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Let there be fun.
And somebody's got to talk about it. You're right, though. See, you have a CEO warning us. That tells you something.
Yeah. That doesn't happen often.
No, it doesn't.
Finally, I want to get your thoughts, because you say that Trump isn't going to go to jail for the documents. But Ty Cobb, one of Trump's former attorneys, he's predicting Trump's going to do time, because evidently the information that we're finding out is that Trump was warned numerous times and counseled numerous times over the span of the year that he was holding on to stuff. And this former attorney for Trump saying, hey, he's going to go to jail. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree for several reasons. One, I don't believe that the Department of Justice is going to pull the trigger on this, you know, legally. I just don't believe they're going to do it in the end. And part of it is the problem, and I know it's a different deal of, you know, how many documents Biden had and the cooperation or not, et cetera, and Pence had documents, but it's a factor. And nobody can tell me that in justice they aren't sitting there thinking, well, you know, he had documents, he had more, he had some in his garage. I mean, you know they're having these discussions. I just think they're not going to go after Trump on that. The other thing is, this will be, and I've read about, you know, the lawyers, of course, but this will be a game of one lawyer said this, the other's lawyer said that, and then there's the little poison pill that comes out of, you know, so somebody advised the lawyers or, you know, somebody within the document system. So I just think it's so twisted and convoluted at this point. I just don't think he will do any time for this whole thing.
Well, we will see how it plays out. But it's interesting that one of his lawyers is saying he's going to go to jail.
Oh, yeah. It is.
We will see.
Is.
But, Bob, I appreciate the time. Welcome back. Look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Okay. Thank you, Rick.
Our good friend Bob Ney. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back after this to wrap things up. Stick around. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1895. Labor organizer Eugene V. Debs began a six-month prison sentence in Woodstock, Illinois. Debs was the leader of the American Railway Union that had led a nationwide boycott and strike against the Pullman Palace Car Company in 1894. Federal troops had brutally crushed the strikes. But bullets and bayonets were not the only federal weapon. On July 2, 1894, a federal circuit court in Illinois issued an injunction against Debs and other labor leaders. The stated basis of the injunction was that the boycott interfered with the delivery of the U.S. mail. The injunction prohibited Debs from doing anything to encourage participation in the boycott. The New York Times recognized that the broadness of the injunction made it a Gatling gun on paper. It was aimed to cut down the power of the workers' union. Injunctions would remain a powerful anti-union tool for the next four decades, until laws were passed limiting their power. Debs was found to be in contempt of court for violating the order. He appealed the decision, and the case went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Among Debs' defense team was a young lawyer named Clarence Darrow. Darrow would go on to become a legal champion for working people. The Supreme Court upheld the legality of the injunction, and Eugene Debs reported to prison. While serving his sentence, he spent much of his time reading. It began his political transformation and caused Debs to begin to question the capitalist system that seemed rigged against working people who dared to try and stand up in solidarity. Soon after prison, he became a socialist, running for president four times. In November, Debs finished his sentence and returned to Chicago to a crowd of thousands of cheering friends, supporters, and workers. Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Check out our website, TheRickSmithShow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, email me, Rick@TheRickSmithShow.com. Got something to look forward to this week. As a Pennsylvania resident, everyone else indulge me, but State Senator Doug Mastriano says this could be announcement week. He is teasing what he is saying is crazy good news that he may run for Senate. Oh, please. this is one of those things where I'm going, oh, please. There was nothing better than watching Mastriano go down in flames. I mean, he was even worse than the last crazy Republican that ran for governor, Scott Wagner, who literally threatened the incumbent governor to stomp on his face with golf spikes because, you know, the governor put up a billboard, you know, is calling him out. Gonna step on your face. That has got to be, you know, it's one of those things where you go, got to be one of the weirdest comments. One of the weirdest comments that I've ever heard a politician come up with. Just one of the weirdest things that someone's ever, that's ever. I got to play. Actually, I got to play it. It's just one of those things where I got to, this is a guy running for governor here in Pennsylvania. His name was Scott Wagner. He was a state senator. He had resigned as a state senator, ran for governor. This is him on the side of the road under a billboard, fuming mad that someone had said something about him. But this is Scott Wagner.
Well, Governor Wolf, let me tell you, between now and November 6th, you better put a catcher's mask on your face, because I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes, because I'm going to win this for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're throwing you out of office, because you know what? I'm sick and tired of your negative ads.
I'm tired of you saying bad things about me. So I'm going to assault you with my golf spikes. Now, you thought that was bad? Mastriano, so much worse. And actually got beaten by a whole lot more. So please run for Senate. Oh, please, by all means, because I can't imagine a crazy person as a senator from my state. Just a thought. Now, this AI stuff, you know, I've been talking about this for a while. I don't know what the future is going to be for us. Some of the deep fakes I've seen. Wow. Remember not too long ago, and this is my problem. My problem is when something goes out, it goes viral, everyone grabs a hold of it. Undoing the damage that it did is darn near impossible. I've talked to a couple of people here recently. I go, you know, hey, did you hear about that story in New York where they're bringing in the illegals and they're kicking the veterans out of the hotels? And they're like, yeah, that's horrible. I can't believe that's going on. They all heard it. It never happened. It was staged. It was a lie. And it got picked up in place after place after place. And, you know, it was just one of those things that because of social media, it's now there's a part of me that goes, maybe this is a moment where we all collectively go, you know, everything you see on social media is BS. Maybe there's a moment where you go, you know, Twitter at one point had a verification system where, you know, when you had your blue check mark, you had a code of conduct. You had to follow some rules or you could lose it. Like you couldn't spread propaganda. You couldn't spread, you know, this kind of absolutely false information, or they would take your coveted blue check. Now, for $8, any idiot with one follower can be verified, which is completely done away with the value of it. There's no social media that you go, oh yeah, that's a verified source now. All the verifications come with some kind of a payout or some kind of a monetary part of this where you go, I'm sorry. The people who are spending this money to get this kind of attention, I don't know that I'm buying into. And especially the viral stuff. I mean, it used to be what I said of Twitter back in 2011, while we were in Wisconsin sleeping on the Capitol floor, I would joke, thank you, CNN, for telling me what's on Twitter, because the people who were on the ground were tweeting what was happening in those moments. They were taking videos of what was going on inside the Capitol. There was some citizen journalism going on. And there were people who came out of that with integrity. And, you know, it wasn't about getting attention. It was about
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5.